Well, hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Springfield Mayor Dominic Sarno is asking the federal government for a moratorium on sending refugees to the city, claiming city resources can no longer accommodate the influx. He's not the first New England mayor to make such a request, nor is this the first time he's asked for it to stop. But refugees and supporters of refugees say the problem is not with the influx, but rather with the way the city is run. It's a debate that echoes in a large national conversation about immigration in general. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson told Congress today that the Obama administration is looking at every possible option to help respond to the flood of immigrants crossing the border illegally in southern Texas. But critics say the system is deeply flawed and that the president has done nothing to push for reform. Since the start of the budget year in October, Border Patrol agents have apprehended more than 52,000 immigrant children traveling alone in Texas, most of them from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. At the same time, the administration is dealing with more than 39,000 adults with children caught at the border. What do you think? How should we be handling immigration reform in this country? And what's more, what's up with immigration? What is it that makes us, as a country, so antithetical to so many immigrants when we are, of course, a nation of immigrants ourselves? What is this we versus they kind of thing? People like Lou Dobbs made whole reputations on it. What is it in the American psyche, in the worldview, Weltanschauung? What is it about our sense of immigrants that makes this such a horrible sort of thing? And let's start to think about, by the way, the number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. I'm riding solo today, no guest, just you. And I want you to call, and I'd love to have your views on the way all of this is coming down. You can also, of course, email us at voxpop@wamc.org or go through our Facebook page. Anyway, you know, when you look at the way in which this has happened, it's really so interesting that immigrants become sort of, I don't know how to put this, but an almost enslaved population. Think about it. You're an immigrant. You're here. Any moment, a black car swoops down on you, puts you in the back seat, puts you in handcuffs. And even if you've been there for 10 or 12 years, somebody has put the dime on you, and who may be a competitor, who may be an ex-husband, an ex-wife, and they call the folks at the immigration, and they pick you up and they put you on a plane, and you are not seen again. After you were in Great Barrington for 10 years, but you're not seen again. And think about what that really means to each of us who would project ourselves into that kind of situation. Then you get President Obama. He talks about a path towards citizenship. You get some movement on it in the United States Senate. The radical right in the House of Representatives says nothing doing. We don't want anything to do with it. We're not even going to let it come up for a vote. And then you see in a presidential election that even those people who are documented immigrants, who have their papers, who are here, they feel so strongly about the way in which this anti-Hispanic immigration, for example, is going, that they vote in almost unanimous, not quite, but very close to unanimous numbers for the Democrats as opposed to Republicans. And still the Republicans don't budge. So there's so much of this that can be looked at. The telephone number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, let's go to Suzanne in Amherst. Okay, Suzanne, thanks for calling. You're first. Go ahead.
Hi, Suzanne. Hi. Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I had a couple points, but great, they're connected. I used to be a Head Start teacher in the Springfield area and worked with many of the refugees' families that the mayor is talking about. And I have to tell you, you know, we're a country of plenty. And the parents and children that are able to come to this country from Nepal and Iraq and all of the different refugees that end up in communities in Springfield, they are so grateful and so amazed at what they are able to do here. Being able to give them a leg up in the world, I think, is our responsibility. And I want to tie that into your question about why this country gets so up in arms about immigrants these days. I really think that there are conservative forces that have convinced poor Americans and lower middle class Americans that the reason they're poor, the reason they don't have everything they want is because other poor people are taking the jobs and taking their money from them and getting public assistance. It's simply not the case. The people who are taking those resources are the people who have them, the rich people. It's not the poor taking from the poor, but, you know, it's the devil's trick of convincing people that he doesn't exist, if you know what I mean.
I do indeed. I do indeed. Well, Suzanne, I think you make a lot of good points. There's something I'm not quite sure of, and I always tell my students, if you don't know something, ask. So I'm asking you. The mayor, Mayor Sarno, who I have immense mm-hmm. respect for, and Richie Neal, a congressman who's with us a lot, have made this plea to the federal government to stop sending these children to Springfield. Now, I'm wondering, I had no idea that that was going on. Do you have any idea what that's all about?
I do, a little bit. But there are specific refugee communities in the Springfield area that come from certain countries, and they end up having communities there. Specifically, there are a lot of refugees from Nepal and the conflict there. There are a lot of families from Iraq. There are a lot of families from Turkey. And rather than bringing refugees from countries and just putting them in the middle of nowhere in Kansas where no one speaks the language, they don't know what the resources are, there's no other family there, there are folks who have, you know, a tighter knit community. They have access to translators in this area. They have, you know, they may already have family members here, but there's a support system in place to help these refugees get settled and to make their way. Springfield has been doing a wonderful thing in accepting these families, and I'm sad to hear that might be coming to an end.
Well, is there such a thing as too much?
Too much help?
No, too many people coming to one place as opposed to being spread.
Not too many people coming to the United States. We have
no. I don't mean the United. I don't mean the United States. I mean a city like Springfield.
Oh, you think that Springfield may be taking on more than it can handle?
Yes, I think that's what they're saying. I think that's what they're saying.
Rather than just shutting the door, you know, open a window somewhere else. Is there another place in the area that can handle some refugees community?
Or provide more resources.
Somewhere else in Western Mass that can take more people in. You know, don't just shut the door on folks. We know that people need this help. The United States does things all around the world that create refugee communities. I think we have a responsibility at somewhere in the country, if not in Springfield anymore, if I can't handle that load, somewhere nearby.
Well, Suzanne, you've started us off, and bless you, because I always love the first person who calls, and especially when they're as bright as you are. So thank you so much for starting us off. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. Take care.
Let's go to Matt in Hanacroy. Okay, Matt, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Outstanding. And just listening to you open up the program today, I think the crux of the issue that really gets at people is primarily illegal immigration. I mean, we see cases where illegal immigrants are being afforded care that isn't available to our own citizens. There's the case of the individual, I forget the gentleman's name, out in California, who only after he made it through a post-secondary education and passed the bar exam, was it detected that he was an illegal immigrant, and he won a Supreme Court case in California, and he got to keep his lawyer's license. So,
yeah, but you know, Matt, let me just argue that with you for a moment, at least try.
Certainly.
It seems to me that, you know, you can, there was an old expression, which was taught to me by my PhD advisor. She always claimed it was a Yiddish expression, I don't know, which was, for example, stinks. So that you may in fact have a guy who got through, you know, college and law. But think about all the people who are living in eternal fear who come here. And I want to ask you a question, Matt. Can you see, if you were in Oaxaca, not in the city necessarily, but in the state of Oaxaca, dirt poor, can you see, project yourself into wanting to make this move?
Yes, sir, I can, but I also would wish that these individuals would choose to make the move legally. I served in the United States Marine Corps for 4 years, and I served side by side with a lot of immigrants, Mexican immigrants, immigrants from the islands, Trinidad and Tobago, individuals who chose to come to the United States and who did not have the means to pay their way in or did not have a trade, so elected to serve our country with their very lives to earn their place among our citizenry.
So do you think, Matt, that the idea, the Obama idea, and that which is passed in basically in the United States Senate, after all, there are at least 12 million undocumented immigrants in the country. Do you think that the path to citizenship idea is misplaced?
Yes, sir. I think that sends a very dangerous message that if you can come to the United States and hide out long enough, eventually you'll be accepted.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I want to compliment you. You know, not everybody who calls takes your side of it, and I'm delighted that you did, because it really does set some of the boundaries for the discussion. Again, Matt, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Okay, so we're going to take a brief moment. There are lots of lines open, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and I'll be looking for your call. Karen, you stay right where you are.
Support for WAMC comes from Smith College Museum of Art, presenting The Eye is a Door, landscape photographs by Ann Whiston Spurn, now on view, exhibition-related programs and more, smith.edu/artmuseum for details. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication, used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. Lexington Vacuum, Albany, New York, a local independent vacuum dealer of Miele, Sebo, Dyson, Electrolux, and more, accepting trade-ins towards new vacuum cleaners and offering service and repairs. LEXIVAC.com. Saratoga Bridges, Saratoga Springs, New York, presenting the White Party July 19th to benefit individuals with disabilities and their families. Music by Gravity, catered by Mazzone Hospitality, auctions, and more. SaratogaBridges.org. An Old Songs Festival, Altamont Fairgrounds, three-day folk music festival with Canadian, Irish, and Americana music and performances in 120 daytime workshops and sessions. This Friday through Sunday, oldsongs.org.
Love that music. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Lots of free phones. Love to talk to you about this. I think it's one of the most interesting and serious issues that we have. I keep projecting myself into the place of the folks who are most at risk. So let's say somebody is working off the books and an employer gets mad at them. Think of the incredible power. So we have 12 million people in this country who are subjected to that kind of fear. And when you think about that, that makes a second society. It makes a sort of enslavement. Anyway, let's talk to Hinsey in Hyde Park. Okay, Hinsey, you're on. Hinsey.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
So far, so good. Don't ruin it.
Well, I can't believe I got through so quick. The way I see it, it's basic things. You know, I'm just an ordinary person. But it comes down to greed and fear, and Republicans ain't going to do a damn thing that President Obama is going to do. They don't care how good it is. And that's the three comments I have.
Well, but don't go away that quickly. Let me just ask you this. What about the idea of displacement? In other words, if an immigrant comes here and does a job, that's a job that, quote, an American would have otherwise.
Well, you know, as far as Republicans are concerned, you know, that's fine as long as they're picking our fruit and mowing our yards. But don't let them take another job, you know.
Mm-hmm. But
that's their problem. They're okay as long as they're subservient, but when they're no longer subservient, then you know, don't let them come.
Don't you think it's sort of the new slavery in a way? I mean, the fact that they are.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
That's like I said, subservient. You know, they feel well. You know, they're just fine as long as they're mowing my lawn, trimming my edges, and picking my fruit.
Well, what about what the last?
Well, you mean they want a real job.
But, Hinsey, what about what the last guy said? You know, wonderful American. He served in the Marines?
I served in the Marines, too.
Yeah,
and I served right along with them. I was there for 4 years during the Vietnam War. So, and they were good people.
And so the question, right, and so exactly. And so the suggestion was, you know, if you make allow something that is illegal to continue, it, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it fosters disrespect for the law. What do you make of that one?
Not at all. You know, I mean, what's the real case? Follow the money. You know, the real case was, as long as you're coming in and picking fruit at $1.25 when they should be paying $8.95, you know, it's good. Now they want they want real money for doing the same job. Well, now we'll kick them out.
Yeah, you know, you make
it comes down to greed.
You know,
that's why I said greed and fear. Well, I'm not sure what they're fearing, but they seem to be afraid of something.
It's interesting because
I'm not sure what.
It's interesting that you say that because you have hit all the bases, and you're right. But of course, there are many people who have a lot of money who really are dependent on immigrant labor, and they don't want to see this at risk population disappear. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They want it under their control.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Hey, Hinzy, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Oh, well, thank you for accepting my call.
Anytime.
Thank you for letting me express my opinion.
Anytime. That's why we're here. Thanks, Hinzy. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay. All right.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. My dear friends, I want everybody on the line because I want everybody to have a say in this. That's why we call it the Vox Pop, Voice of the People. Let's go to Darren in Chicopee. Okay, Darren, you're on. Darren. Are you there, Darren? Darren?
This is John in Chicopee.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Okay. So you got me, John, in Chicopee?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead. Yeah. You're on the air.
Okay. What I'm saying is that our ancestors, the first white folks or whatever you want to call them, to come here, arrived as illegal immigrants, slaughtered all the native population, complete genocide, and I think the reason we're afraid of more illegal immigrants or more immigrants coming is that we want to keep what we took, and we're afraid that they're going to take from us what we took from the natives.
Hmm. You know, I've often thought about this with the new National Geographic type research. Obviously, even the Native Americans came over land bridges to get here. So, you know, I mean, I think
they came over land bridges to get to an unpopulated country.
Yep, yep. Yeah, yeah, that's a very interesting point in itself.
And populated.
Yeah, and populated.
It did not come to a civilized, completely civilized, from coast to coast country and slaughter all the inhabitants.
No, that's actually true. Darren, oh, John, thank you very much, John, for the call. Appreciate it. And call again, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, bye. And line three is Tom. Okay, Tom from Sheffield, I'll bet it is. Tom, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Your turn.
I have to agree with you, Alan. I think you're right, but the previous caller really kind of hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
That the economic realities in this country seem to underscore the reason why the Republicans want some limits on immigration. But I think it's horrendous.
But don't you? But Tom, don't you think that part of that response is not so much thinking through the economic realities, but also, look, these guys are facing, tea parties, right? And candidates. And they're worried. And it's so interesting that the people sometimes at the lower end of the socioeconomic SES spectrum are those people who are most likely to feel resentment because they're not doing all that well in the society. And therefore, there's got to be somebody to blame. And the immigrants become the people to blame.
And you're right. I mean, they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing but undermining the Social Security system. They'll create chaos in the Social Security system, and then what will happen is that people will get mad and blame Social Security and say that we need another system.
I'm having a little trouble following you on the Social Security thing. Could you explain it to me?
Well, they're strategically making budget cuts that reduce the services to Social Security.
Oh, you mean the Republicans are?
Right.
Okay.
And there's a long-term plan of creating displeasure in the system and hopefully planting the seed to opt for privatization. And we know what that costs. You know, and this just, it's clearly a concerted effort to do the same thing in the area of immigration. They want to pigeonhole people for specific jobs, and that is it. And your premise is right on from the get-go that, in my opinion, that we are a melting pot. I mean, we boast to the world we're a melting pot.
But wait, Tom. But don't you think it's also a matter of good old-fashioned scapegoating?
In other words,
it's displacement of all the anger that they're afraid will come their way if people figure it all out. And then you take some person who's just trying to eke it out and who is standing on a corner looking for any job that anybody can pick them up in a pickup truck with. And they say, that's a person who, you know, shouldn't be here. But you can't argue with one thing, right? You can't argue with 12 million people. Think about 12 million people. You got to do something about that. What should we do?
Well, I personally think that in the case of the pro-union issue, I think they're right in the sense that they do have a right to be filling in and getting the income that's allowed to them. But I tell you, it's a discussion that's going to go on for a long, long time. And I think the other caller indicated that no matter what Obama does, this is clearly a racist issue, in my opinion. I honestly think that a lot of these Republicans are racist, and they don't like Obama, and no matter what he puts up, you know, he is going to get shot down. And affordable health care is a case in point. I mean, and now it's turning out, from what I understand, that it's actually turning out to be a benefit to the country in many ways, and these guys are in denial, and they're going to continue to try to shoot us down.
You know, there's an interesting point at the time. All the phones ringing, so I want to make just one point with you.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
No, but Tom, I just wanted to say one more thing, and that is that the congressional districts, I want you to follow me on this one, are so gerrymandered, and so that the state legislatures create districts where people reelect themselves. In other words, we have it in New York.
Right.
They're allowed to do
that. Right.
Okay. But when you get a presidential election where everybody gets a vote, and then you see the power, for example, of the Hispanic population, the Hispanic vote in this country, it's not reflected in the elections to the House of Representatives where the districts are so gerrymandered and so malapportioned.
Exactly. But, you know, even that's going to change because the truth of the matter is those districts where these Republicans feel safe are being populated and infiltrated by people who basically say, you know something, I can go from here to there and find a better ranch or whatever. I mean, it's clearly, I think it's one man, one vote. This whole gerrymander thing is nuts, to be honest with you. But
Hey, Tom, thank you very much. We got a lot of people behind you, and I love your contribution. Appreciate it very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Ali in Springfield. Okay, go ahead, Ali.
Hi, this is Ali. Basically, my take on immigration is I feel it's never brought up that this seems to be a common stage of empire. You know, it happened with the Romans, it happened with the Chinese, where you're growing for a certain amount of time and you're welcoming everyone in from everywhere to contribute to that. And after you have an established identity of who you are, then you want to, you know, close off the gateways, keep the barbarians at the gate. And that's pretty much the time where everything falls apart, where the country
Ali, the last guy in pulls up the gangplank?
Excuse me?
The last guy in, as they say, pulls up the gangplank. I got
exactly.
here. I don't want you here.
Right, exactly. And when that works, when they're able to finally gather together and say, yep, we're keeping all of them out because we know who we are, this is who we are. That's pretty much the end, you know.
Ali, I wanted to ask you a question. You're in Springfield. We started out the program by announcing that Mayor Sarno, who I have immense respect
right.
for, and Richie Neal, who I really love, are saying to the federal government, stop sending so many of the children and others here because we really can't handle it all. You're in that city, and I wondered if you had any insights.
Not only am I in the city, but I think I have... I'm of a network of people in the mix of things. I know a number of principals and such. And I would feel the problem with it is you have this rather old school way of dealing with people coming in, you know, like not wanting to divvy up the pie, you know, they're going to take our jobs, so let's marginalize these people. Let's put them in these classes where they don't really get a handle on English, and that's okay because they probably prefer to be around each other, and they're just left there to their own devices. I think if we saw immigrants as a resource to grow as a city, I think...
That's an interesting point. What would you do? How would you do that? It's a very interesting
all
point.
All kinds of things. People are, you know, infinite resources. There's all sorts of new restaurants we could be having, all sorts of different kinds of food we could be experiencing. You know, you go into one of these little Arab markets or Vietnamese markets, and you find a new kind of soda, you know, that you wouldn't have had otherwise, some exotic little flavor of things. And we could be utilizing that. We could be using ourselves as sort of one of those hubs where, you know, we're making a new America here.
Well, I'm grateful for your call and for your insights, and, you know, you make an awful lot of sense. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Rick in Saugerties. Rick in Saugerties, you're on.
How are you doing, Alan? I want to say that Ali's call is very intriguing. It wasn't what I was going to call about, but I just want to touch on it quickly.
It is,
My son Will was working in Albany for a refugee placement agency and successfully placed many residents who were displaced from Myanmar, although they call themselves Burmese, in Albany, and also from the Middle East. And I have to tell you, what's going on with that has made Albany a much better city in my eyes, much more diverse, much more cultural availability. I think it's very cool. My son is now working in D.C. doing that at a national level. I'm very proud of him. But on another note, I run two businesses, and I have to tell you, the conversation that is not on the table with politicians, because I don't think they're exposed to it at all, is the fact that many of the lower-paying, harder-working jobs, dishwashers, porters, stewards, those kind of jobs, cannot be filled by Americans who are been here a long time because they won't do the work. Most of the restaurant industry, the back of the house, is run by, you know, ethnic people. And second generation to first generation, we have... In both of my restaurants, a lot of Dominicans and a lot of Salvadorians, all legal, all with the Social Security numbers and working on the books. But if I hire American kids to do that work, they get a concert to go to and they just don't come in anymore or they don't show up. And I think one of the problems we're dealing with is we've created a culture. Paul Goodman wrote about this in the early 60s, mm-hmm. The dangers of this, where everybody is expected to go to college. And if they don't go to college, they consider themselves lesser and losers. And good manual labor is frowned upon. So a lot of kids who are in their teens and 20s who used to fill these positions now say, I'm not doing that work. It's below me. And it's impossible to fill those positions.
So, Rick, let me ask you a question real fast. Do you ever get into a substance? Of course, I know who you are. And I have immense respect for you. Do you ever get into a substantive conversation with some of the kids who come from this side of the line about why they can't do the work?
Absolutely, and most of the time, it's they're coming from a place where it is degrading to them to have to work hard mm-hmm. physically.
And they say,
that's
"Will they actually?
They should be doing.
Will they own up to it?"
Oh yeah, that's what they'll say. I'm not doing that. You know, listen, I dealt with it with my own kids. And another dilemma is how many American people who are citizens are looking to work off the books because they're collecting. I'm going to tell you something really funny. I post for employment postings, and I'll get people who actually type in an email. They're this brazen. I'd like to come work for you, but only if you pay me off the books because I'm collecting. I mean, that brazen about it.
That's unbelievable.
This is not on the table. Politicians, I don't know if they don't know this is what the world is like, but the guys who plow your snow, the guys who cut your grass, the landscapers, I lose good employees every summer because they can make cash money doing that kind of work.
Rick,
it's a big, big problem.
Rick, I first of all, I love your call. I love what you had to say. It's very important to us, and I appreciate it. We've got a lot of people behind you, and I hope you'll call again. You're always good.
Take it out.
Thanks, Mike. Let's go to... let's take a little break, and then we'll come right back. I promise you, don't hang up, Lee or James or Anna. Don't hang up, please.
Support for WAMC goes on Bistro 63 at the Monkey Bar downtown Amherst, offering casual lunches and dinners featuring steaks, seafood, cocktails, and wines using local organic products. Banquet facilities and patio dining, bistro63.com. Dr. Joseph Cohen, optometrist, eye examinations and classic eyewear in historic Uptown Kingston, most insurances accepted, optical diversity in the Hudson Valley, CohenOptometry.com. Current Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, hosting a national symposium on life insurance compliance November 12th through the 14th at the Gideon Putnam Resort, Saratoga Springs, with registration now open, currentcompliance.com. And Hyde Hall, an 1830s English country manor overlooking Otsego Lake, offering guided tours 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily, except Thursdays, hydehall.org.
Thank you, Zachary, for bringing us back. Always amazing how you do that. It's the Vox Pop. We're talking about immigration. The telephone number is 1-800-348-2551, and we'll go to Lee in Ulster. Welcome back, Lee. You're on.
Alan, it's a tale. I have friends who just came back from Mexico where they went. He went to get extensive dental work because he couldn't afford it here. Even though he's on Medicare, it's not covered. He told me a story about talking to the woman who was one of the nurses at the facility there, whose father came across, basically sat on the steps of the hospital because he needed a heart operation, which he got for free because he was indigent here. It's just a strange twist in the rules that upsets people and becomes part of the issue. I don't know how to solve problems like this. I just speak to the fact that the healthcare thing is one of the things that seems to motivate a certain group of people to come to the country.
Well, but you can't say that 12 million people showed up here because...
No, absolutely not.
So the big issue, of course, is that things, the perception is that things are better here. Now, there was a while there that we kept hearing, whether it's true or not, that more people were going the other way than coming this way, especially during the recession time. But you certainly aren't hearing that right now. And in fact, when the President of the United States and his chief of immigration were saying we got to do something, it would appear there are some real issues here.
Well, I'm making sort of the George Carlin park in the driveway argument here. Okay. I mean, pre-Obamacare, I had friends who moved to Mexico because they didn't have sufficient Social Security to pay for her meds. They could get everything so much cheaper there. I just find it one of those things where somehow if the rules worked better, everybody would be more comfortable. Certainly the immigration situation as it exists is bizarre and unreasonable.
Always great to hear from you, Lee. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. Right.
Okay. Let's go to James in Valencia. James, you're on.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking my call. Sure. The gentleman two calls back, this always seems to happen, whatever talk show I call, they preempt me. But I was going to bring up about, there's a lawsuit currently being pushed down in Georgia where a lot of the American-born local population is basically not getting the jobs on the pecan farms and the various other, picking jobs. And they're being passed over, and the owners, there was an article, I think it was in the New York Times or the Boston Herald about, the owners are saying, well, the problem is that when we hire locals, and, I think they happen to be mostly, it may be that it's mainly African-Americans that are in litigants in this lawsuit, but they didn't say it was just black folk, that the Hispanic people outproduce them by a factor of 3 to 1, the American people. And then the other side countered with, and you can look this up, well, we don't want to work that hard. We want those jobs, but we want them in our terms. And then the owners are saying, no, these folks work, unsupervised and outproduce you. So this creates an interesting situation where, they're feeling, the people that are mad are feeling, well, those people were made to work too hard. But then those people that are supposedly made to work too hard, they're not complaining. They're happy to have the job. So I agree with that call.
Wait a second. One half of what you just said is right. They're not complaining. And they're not complaining because they complain goodbye.
Admittedly, I don't know whether they're being paid on or off the books. But I think the owner did say previously that he pays all his people, above the table, on the books. But I've definitely seen this. I'm a tradesman with 30-plus years. I've definitely seen it, that a lot of our, one of my kids, why should I do that? And, it just doesn't seem to be, when someone makes it into this country and runs that gauntlet and gets in here, we're so happy to, you know, be able to have a job. And, you know, whereas the kids here, they've never had to deal with that.
So let me ask you a question. I think about this all the time, James. Okay, let's assume that they're here, they work hard, and they make tremendous contributions. The kids go to the state university. Let's just assume that the kids can get into the state university mm-hmm. or the city university in New York. Will the kids right. have the same work ethic?
You mean the children of
yeah,
the immigrants?
Yeah.
I bet not, because I think that they're slowly being, you know,
Americanized. Yeah,
done in by the same thing.
right.
You know, it doesn't have to be this way, Alan. But yeah. I mean, and I see this with all. I mean, I grew up down in the city, and I'd see. You know, why is it that the, you know, in the 70s when New York was in such trouble, and the Irish and the Italian and the Jews that owned a lot of the shops left the neighborhoods and in rushed the Koreans and set up shop in these neighborhoods, you know, and they weren't afraid to do it.
Mm. And not so, without some risk, by the way.
No, and I remember what happened in Crown Heights.
Sure.
I remember, but, you know, but that's my word.
Well, your word is worth a great deal to me, James, and I thank you for calling. Very interesting, very provocative. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Anna in Cohoes. Anna in Cohoes, you're on.
Hello?
Hey, you're on, Anna.
Hi. I have a question for you. I'm curious if you think we should look to more of where these immigrants are coming from, like the problems in Latin America that motivate them to come to the United States and put some resources into helping those countries at all?
What do you think? I think your premise of your question gives us the answer, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, one caller called and said, well, you know, the healthcare system there may be better than here or cheaper. I don't know that it's better, but it may be cheaper, that some people can afford dental work, which they couldn't here. Some people can afford other things. But, you know, there are some things in places like Juarez and some of these other places where you have these terrible drug wars and stuff. If you had a kid in one of those places, boy, you'd want out of there in the worst kind of way in order to save their lives, basically. So yeah, you make an interesting point, Anna. The United States gives out a lot of foreign aid. The question is, do we do it strategically enough so that we do it where it does the most good and where we might make a difference in terms of who is coming over here? Again, Anna, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a good day.
You too. Let's go to Judah in Albany. Okay, Judah, you're on.
Hi. You know, I'm a grad student getting my PhD at SUNY Albany, but this call from earlier from Richie really bothered me.
Yeah.
You know, the local restaurateur.
Yep.
He was making the point that young people don't want to work in that kind of job. They don't want to work for the kind of money that this gentleman pays. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, no, but
taking
that is,
advantage
that may
of
be,
a community.
Yeah. That may be the case, and Judah, as you may remember, I premised this thing in the beginning by saying that we're creating these two strata, including
exactly, Alan.
The idea somebody could pick you up and put you in a back of a black car, and
right.
we're not going to see you again. And by the way, we've seen that in Great Barrington. We've actually seen that
yep.
happen. Guy's there for 11 years, 13 years, and boom,
yep.
he's off the face of the earth. So
right.
it must be something
and
to do with that.
And I think
every
this
day.
Local restaurateur is taking advantage of this vulnerable population.
Well, I don't know
he's
about
that. He's not paying these people $13, $14 an hour. He's paying these people a pitiful wage, barely minimum wage. And it's just sickening.
Well, you don't
and
know
he's part
you,
of the problem.
You don't know what he's paying, and I don't
oh,
know.
Yes, I do.
How do you know him? Do you know him?
Oh, I had people that lived a floor below me work for him. Two kids.
Okay, but on the other hand, there are coffee yeah. shops. There are coffee shops, Judah. That
no. But Alan, you
that
just
pay
earlier
that pay $8 an hour.
The Republican Party taking advantage, and we have somebody locally taking advantage, and you're giving him a pass.
Well, look, I like the guy, I know him, and the last
right.
and the last thing in the world I would do without knowing facts is to say, you know, you could say I had a guy who lived downstairs. I don't know what he pays. I do know.
Well, Alan,
yes.
you're making an excuse for someone who is taking advantage, and you say you're against taking advantage of people that are vulnerable,
yep.
and here you make an excuse for someone. I think
No. I just don't want to say that when
right.
a guy calls up and says, and you
okay.
call and say, "You, I don't think he's paying enough
okay.
money." I don't know that, and I'm
okay.
not about to do that on this radio show. I mean, it's
okay.
just not—it's not prudent. But Judah, I thank you for your call, and you make a very interesting set of comments. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Dylan in Chicopee. Okay, it says here Chickadee, but I'm pretty sure it's Chicopee. Okay, go ahead. Dylan, you're on.
Hi. I was just going to comment that while I was in the service, I had a chance to visit Honduras and get a chance to see these people living in this third world country. And if only Americans could really see what these people, the conditions they live in. The poorest of poor in America are rich in comparison. I got to befriend a young man who was my interpreter at 9 years old, did not go to school because he had to have a job of A, interpreting for money, and B, when he wasn't doing that, he was picking up sticks to bring home so that they could sell for firewood. These kids had nothing. I tried to buy him a pair of shoes, and he said he would rather me buy him food than buy him clothes because his mother could sell his clothes so that she could have food for the house. But if I fed him, he got to eat. These people coming to this country, we have more than enough. I mean, as far as talking about the restaurant, my wife worked in a restaurant and got paid $10 an hour as a waitress plus tips. I mean, there are restaurateurs that take care of these people. Not everybody pays state minimum wage in Massachusetts of $2.63 for a waitress.
Yeah, and by the way, the last guy who called, he might not have considered $10 an hour a living wage.
Correct.
In other words, to some people, that $10 an hour represents a lot of money. To others, it means, you know, somebody should be sharing.
The guy that stands on the street corner all day long and says, I'm broke and hungry, that's a man that drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Because that same person that comes in here from a third world country would never stand on that corner and beg for money. He would have a job. No matter if he was working on the books or off the books, he would have a job. It's the lazy American that stands there and asks for money.
Dylan, thank you.
Republican or Democrat?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Yes, goodbye.
Okay, yeah. Let's go to Ray in the Berkshires. Okay, Ray, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Hey. I have a law practice. I do criminal defense and I do immigration, and I've handled a few deportations. Got to go all the way to Boston to handle them from the Berkshires. I find it very heartbreaking. I see families broken up. I see people who came here when they were 18, 19 years old from places like El Salvador where they're trying to get away from gang violence. I see the policy is that if you have a really good reason to believe that the government is persecuting you, then you can apply for asylum or for the Convention Against Torture exception.
Sure.
But if it's not the government, it's just a bunch of gangs who are saying, if you don't join us, we'll kill you, then you're stuck and you're going to get deported anyway, and it doesn't matter if you have children here who were born here, they're still going to deport you. I've seen it happen. I think we need to have a serious change in policy. I understand when people say, look, they're taking jobs away, but I don't think the situation is that clear-cut, and I certainly don't think they're necessarily taking advantage of resources where, you know, you can't get health care. Yeah, you can get emergency care, but I think in the grand scheme, it doesn't really add up. I think we need to have a new immigration reform. And
when is that going to happen? When is that going to happen, Ray, in our House of Representatives? In our Republican-controlled House?
I am really pessimistic.
Yeah.
People talk about, oh, it's going to happen. It may be around the corner, but I'm really pessimistic. And unfortunately, you know, you hear from some of the callers and you hear it on some of the talk shows. It's really hard to get a consensus around this.
It is. Hey, Ray, a very important call, and I thank you so much for making it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And by email, Mexican immigration has increased since NAFTA created trade rules highly favorable to large American agribusinesses. Most small Mexican farmers can't compete with the low prices of the American corporate farms, and they no longer make a living in Mexico, and they can no longer make a living in Mexico, so they come here. I largely agree with you, Alan, that this is a new slavery, though union busting has contributed a lot to it, and want you to read Nickel and Dime by Barbara Ehrenreich. Good show. I always enjoy hearing the many interesting points of view of AMC listeners, and we'll go to Nancy in Shelburne. Nancy, make your point.
Hi, are you there?
We're here. How about you?
All right, I'm here.
Good.
I have a couple points I want to make. I do believe that we have to set limits. And, you know, just in 2013, 50 million people were displaced by war, by natural disasters, by starvation, by whatever. But 50 million people is a lot of people, and so we have to limit how many we take in. I don't know what the best way to do that would be, but...
But apparently we can't. Apparently that's the interesting thing. Here comes Jay Johnson, the immigration chief, and he says, you know, they're pouring over the border. Now, everything we see on the television is high tech and fences and flying drones and you name it, and we just are powerless to stop it.
To stop the people coming?
Yes.
Over the borders?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
But
and 12 million people here already.
You know, you hear about fair trade.
Yep.
There are people working with people down in Central and South America who are coffee bean or cocoa bean growers, and they would love to come to the United States.
Sure.
But at least these people have enabled them to form a co-op that it's probably not a great living, but it's a living and it's legal, and they don't have to face all the dangers of crossing the border. If anyone not wants to know about the dangers of crossing the border, read Luis Urrea, U-R-R-E-A, The Devil's Highway.
Okay, hey, listen, we're out of time, Nancy, so I thank you for your call. Appreciate it. And let's go to Bernadette in New Paltz. Okay, Bernadette, it's got to be real fast.
Yeah, I was living in Pennsylvania about 12 years ago, and I remember reading an article, I think it was in Newsweek, saying that 30% of the population in this country is Hispanic. And it said by the year 2050, at the rate that Mexicans are crossing the border, it's going to go up to about 50%. And
well,
that's
not only
not
not only Mexicans crossing the border or anybody else crossing the border, but also the rate of increase of having children. And so I think that statistic is correct.
Yeah, but the other thing I wanted to say is I don't think we can solve this problem. I think that we need to start acting like a neighbor to Mexico, and we need to get down there and do something about the cartel.
The reasons why people are
crossing the border. We need to figure out why they're crossing and what we can do. We need to help build up an infrastructure in Mexico. They've got supposedly mines with jewels. They've got oil in Mexico, but they don't have the money to do what they can do to resource it.
Okay, Nancy, I have to stop you because we are running out of time. I thank you for that. We got the point. Okay, let's go to Bernadette real quickly, Bernadette. Whoa, what was that? Okay, whatever it was, it isn't anymore. Okay, so let's now, Bernadette is not on line one anymore. So let's go to Catherine on line five. Catherine, it has to be no more than a sentence. Go ahead. Catherine?
Hello?
Hello, go ahead, but it has to be fast. Thank you.
Yes, I agree. We need to change the laws like NAFTA and the IMF that caused people to leave their country in the first place.
Okay, well, that makes a point. Thank you very much for that. And that gives us time to go to Fran real quickly on line two. Fran from Mechanicville, go ahead.
Hi, I agree with your previous caller. We have to address NAFTA. Alan, you stirred up so much in the soup here, but I want to say that my grandparents came from Europe. They came with nothing in their pockets. We have created a generation that doesn't want to do the job, okay? So maybe we should address that. And on the other hand, there are kids that do want to work that are paying for these outrageous college tuitions. And, you know, it's a whole jumble of things. And also I've worked with people who are here from other countries
that are waiting to get their immigration green cards, and
they can't even get that because of all this situation.
Exactly. Fran,
thank you.
We're out of time. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Just called. I just want you to know we got everybody in who is on the line. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Intrum Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, so you or a loved one could stay in your home, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. IntrumHealthcare.com. Washington County Tourism, featuring farm-to-table farmers, markets, U-picks, and farm stands with local farm fresh vegetables, meats, eggs, baked goods, cheeses, maple, and more. WashingtonNYCounty.com. And High Meadow Schools, Stone Ridge, New York, now enrolling children ages 3 to 15 for, quote, Summer on the Meadow, week-long camps now through August 1st, highmeadowschool.org. And Rugi's Subaru in the village of Rhinebeck, new Subarus and over 150 pre-owned vehicles specializing in Subaru and GM vehicles, service and parts, Rugi'sSubaru.com. Thanks again for joining us, everybody, on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/voxpop. Our engineer has been the incredible Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Aubrey Mulvey. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.